empty room, a voiceless crew at the edge of the moon, the empty room, nothing is in it,
so the Empty Room podcast, which was started almost 4 years ago when we started, Eric and I, I'm Scott, by the way, welcome everybody. When we started, we did not want to get into the political field. We wanted to be more of a, you know, a comedy, entertaining type situation. However, fast forward to 4.5 years later, and we have one of the most interesting and, quite frankly, scary presidential elections coming up, in the sense that there's so many factors and values that we've been talking about on air that we are now more of a political show than we've ever been. And because of that, we are now having our first ever debate special for the Empty Room podcast. There was a debate last night featuring Donald Trump and Joseph Biden, and it was crazy. And I'm going to talk a little bit about it. And I've also invited my friend John to come in and also give his wonderful critique of what happened the day before. And it should be an interesting conversation about politics, the president, the challenger, and where we go from here. So welcome, John, to the Empty Room podcast. It's good to have you on board.
Thank you, Scott, and thanks for inviting me over.
My pleasure. So last night we all saw
a dumpster fire.
It was pretty wild, man. You had Trump, who was massively on defense, which means he was supremely on offense. I mean, he just kept hacking and hacking away at the Biden situation. Biden looked elderly and looked like he was in some trouble. There's talk that he was wearing a wire. There's talk that there was bad news.
But the quality of his voice was a little rough. If you listen to him, he sounded old. Gravelly, old, and like he was trying to modulate his voice so he would sound different than he would in his normal natural speech patterns at this age.
Sure. And the only time he changed back to what his normal speech patterns were was when he was really personally trying to attack the president, which I found interesting. But we'll get to all that. The real story, in my eyes, first topic, full stop, is the fact that the moderator was a giant shithead. This dude Wallace, I mean, everyone knows him. He's been around before. He's a part of Fox News. And he was very biased towards the president. And it became a situation where Donald was debating two people and, quite frankly, more often Wallace than Biden. What do you think about that, John?
He did beat up on Wallace early on. He got in there and he just told him to shut the hell up, in essence, on live TV. Trump came out, he showed no respect to anybody out there. So I don't know if Chris Wallace went out with the intentions of being as impartial as possible, or if he went out there with the intentions of orange man bad, but I think Trump just right off the bat, no, I'm going to answer this, you shut up, this is my time. I think that put Chris Wallace immediately against Trump.
And it set the stage. And rumor had it that Chris Wallace was not a Trump fan anyway.
No.
He's also more of a deep swamp guy. And when Eric and I talk about deep swamp, we talk about, you know, people that live in the political atmosphere in Washington, D.C., that get all their kicks and their free stuff for being who they are. And that all changed when Trump got into office.
They're there for 30 years on a civil servant salary, right. And they come out billionaires.
Right, and they everything's on the house, and they have access to all the information. And then one of the things that immediately happened when Trump got on board was, you don't get to do that anymore. You either provide something for us, or you're hitting the trail. And I think Wallace definitely was not a fan of that type of treatment, so he was not kind to the Trumpster. Meanwhile, if it's true, I mean, we don't know for certain, but one of the things Chris Wallace talked about from the beginning is that he chose all the questions. And a lot of the questions were hoaxes that have been debunked on the president. The first one being the Charlottesville. There are good people on both sides, and that got, and both sides being Nazis and white supremacists. That was brought up. There was some other things as well. How do you think Trump handled that? I think he was more surprised than anything else.
I think Trump missed a lot of opportunities to articulate. I think he was more interested in trying to hammer Biden. And you could tell, for me, it was a big tell, because he took his first opportunity to attack Biden's family. Mm. And don't get me wrong, I'm all for attacking Biden's family. They're scum-sucking pigs, in my opinion.
Well, Hunter's done some bad
Hunter,
things.
Hunter's a bad, bad man.
bad boy.
Yeah. But I think Trump, he came out, he missed opportunities. I don't think he prepared as well as he could have. We've all seen him do better. We know he's a fighter. We all know that. We know he's going to come out and he's going to do the WWF. You know, he's coming off the top turnbuckle to smack down his opponents. That's his style. But I don't think he was as prepared for some of these questions as he could have been.
One of the things they talked about in the pundits today was that almost all incumbent presidents don't do a real nice job in their first debate out, because they're sort of insulated in their job and they're doing all this work. And I think there's some of that as well. I also agree with you that Trump's idea was to hammer Biden early and push him over. All right, here's this old tree that is wobbly, that has shown weakness, has shown that he can misplace facts, misplace speech. He can have all sorts of trouble.
And we saw a lot of that last night.
And if he can just push him over, like...
Yeah, you know, like, let me piss him off, because I've seen him yell at people on camera. We've seen him say... let's make him say something stupid.
Right.
And I felt like Trump spent more time doing that.
Right.
And to
Biden's credit, he weathered the storm. Now, Wallace stepped in and helped a little bit, and then, you know, if there was a wire, and he was talking to somebody else during the whole time or being coached.
Yeah, there were, Joe, just relax. Just relax. No, Joe. Don't smack him.
I just want to smell him.
I just want to smell him. I don't know. Joe had a few mishaps. He kept wandering off into the weeds on a lot of questions.
Right.
You know, Chris would ask him a question, Joe would answer a different question, and then Mr. Wallace would be like, "Oh, that's fantastic, Mr. Vice President. By the way, I was wondering about the Supreme Court.
Right.
I was wondering about Obamacare." And so, I don't know. I think Trump did get under his skin. I don't think Trump was as prepared as he could have been. But I have to agree, you know, that this is the first game back off of a long hiatus.
Right. I thought one of the interesting points that Biden made that I found very fascinating, because the topics were all over the map, from Obamacare to Antifa to white supremacy.
The Proud Boys.
There was a lot of weird stuff that was talked about last
night. Oh, by the way, Nat, we can all thank Joe Biden for bringing up the Proud Boys in a presidential debate. They now have a new line of T-shirts that are available for you to buy. Jeez. It's the Stand Down T-shirt. I don't know what it is, but... the Proud Boys are about to make a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, Tim Pool brought that up. I saw that tweet earlier today where Joe Biden was the guy that named the Proud Boys, and now they have a national platform. Gavin McGinnis somewhere is laughing his ass off.
He is. while eating five different breakfast cereals.
So, but it was sort of a lot of stuff that was talked about. And one of the things that I found very interesting is that Wallace asked him, you know, how come you didn't contact anybody in Portland and say, hey, knock the violence off, cut it off? And Biden replied, well, I wasn't an active government official at the time. How does that even matter? Like, it was an interesting... I thought it was a very interesting...
Yeah, you're an influencer at this point.
It was a very interesting thing to say. So that was a point that sort of came out to me, I found very fascinating. Another one, and I've been talking with many people, as everyone else has. I've talked to my lawyer, Ed. And Ed was like, it seemed like Trump didn't have a good day, and that he was agitated and angry and pissed off. And I don't know if that's going to play well for people who are in the middle of the pack. And I said, look, man, I hear you. I don't think the needle changed too much anywhere, really. I think everyone's standing pat in terms of who they're voting for at the moment. Now, there's other things that could still unfold here in the 30 days before we get this on, in terms of voting and all that fun stuff. But wouldn't you be angry, too, if, like, massive lies are coming at you from both sides, the moderator and the person you're running against?
Under normal circumstances, I would agree with you, Scott. But these are not normal circumstances. Sure. And the one thing I would have to say is, going into this debate, I don't think there's any independence left out there.
Hmm.
And this is just a personal theory. I think everybody is utterly and totally polarized to one camp or the other at this point. You've got some third-party options, and they always work out so well for, you know, whatever it is they're trying to do. But I think everybody's coming into this biased. I think the heads have been counted. I think everybody's in the camp they're going to be in. If there's any more independent voters out there, I don't think they're paying attention to anything, period.
Right.
Because right now, you've got a lot of people who are, they're switching sides. And there's a lot of people who have become one-issue voters.
Mm.
You know, you've got major cities whose economies have tanked, and the only thing they want, law and order, stabilize their business,
right?
Not go under.
Right, and those were two things that Biden really didn't address.
No.
And Trump tried to push him on it. So, you know, the whole say law and order. You can't even say it, you know, yeah. That type of thing.
And that's the thing. I think Trump could have gone a much better way with that track, because Biden is on the record as saying, if the scientists say shut it down, I will shut it down.
Right, masks.
Make him defend that.
And, yeah.
You know, that's where you're going to lose. It's comments like that that put cities like New York, Boston, Atlanta, Georgia, Miami in play for Trump.
Well, that would be amazing. We talked about this off mic that, you know, if he was somehow able to get New York, that would be...
And New York is very much in play.
Well, because they've been demolished by Antifa and Black Lives Matter and protests and
bad,
riots.
Bad leadership, yeah, bad responses.
Yeah. So, I mean, the idea, I think you've nailed something. It's two issues, not just one. Two-issue voters, which is law and order. I don't want to be beat up. I don't want to walk out my door and be yelled at and called a racist. And I don't want to be, you know, in a situation where I have to physically protect myself, because no one likes that. I mean, we're all prepared for it, or at least the conservative side tends to be, with the Second Amendment and all that fun stuff. But we don't want to be physically pushed around. And the second thing is economy. If we have to shut the economy down again, Trump tried to say it, and I think he didn't really nail it like he wanted to.
Trump is a bad orator.
Well, he's a bull in a china shop. Like, that's his job. I'm here to kick ass, take names, and then fix it. That's my whole point.
Yeah, we're stepping off into the weeds. You know, sorry.
I don't want my business to go under. And if we keep playing footsie with the economy, it's going to go under.
Yeah.
And what's the next step? I go on assistance, or I mean, no one wants to face that reality. These are hopes and dreams of people all across the country who, quite frankly, wanted to start their own business, and God bless them for it. You don't want to lose it because of something that, well, quite frankly, outside of your control. You want to be able to control your own destiny. Like, if your system or your business works, you get to stay. If it doesn't work, you get to go. You know,
yeah, the market's going to decide. But in this case, and I think a lot of business owners are looking around wondering, is like, was this even necessary?
Right. There's always that conversation, and they touched on it a little bit with COVID and what that means, and how many people died, and who was right and who was wrong. The wonderful finish of what COVID's going to be at the end is going to be miraculous. Like, I'm curious to see how we all look back.
I think COVID's going to fizzle. I think, 2 weeks after the election, COVID's done, and it doesn't matter who wins.
Right.
Whether it's a Trump or a Biden, or sorry, whether it's a Trump or a Harris victory.
Well, I am interested to see the next debate featuring Harris and Pence. Because, I mean, I don't think that it could be any more polarized. Good versus evil, you know, the wholesome versus the dirty.
Yeah,
you
know? She's going to come up and be like, this guy's evil just because he's a white male. Pence is so controlled.
He's a sweetheart.
I mean, he is just such a... I don't think Kamala Harris is going to be able to get under his skin.
I don't think Kamala Harris is very bright. And I don't mean to be rude to the woman. Like, she's definitely acquired some power.
She knows how to win a popularity contest.
And moved up the rankings. But, in terms of all the gaffes she's made and all the things that she's said and done, it's like, all right, I get it. You're a far leftist, and you probably shouldn't be here. The only reason you're here is because we're all pretty certain that Biden won't last very long, and this is the only way you can get a far leftist into the situation. But
this is a Hail Mary.
You're not hiding it very well, and you're struggling just to do the simple stuff, because I think you just know, like, that's what makes me, you know, pivoting to the next part, that sort of makes me wonder, do they know that this vote's in the bag and they don't have to try? That's the scary part.
I think, and this is something that we've touched on before in some of our conversations. Biden and Kamala are throwaway candidates.
Right.
You know, That's true. Yeah, if they can manage to eke out a win, I don't care whether it's an honest win or ballot tampering, whatever. If they manage to eke out a win, then they snuck in a Hail Mary pass and they got a radical leftist into the Oval Office.
Mm.
Okay, that would be, they'd probably all be like high fives, like, oh my God, I can't believe that worked.
Holy crap. No way.
Are you serious? That, oh my God. But anybody who loses to Trump, and you've said this, whoever loses to Trump is finished.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got Joe Biden, who no matter what is at the end of his career.
Right.
And you've got Kamala Harris, who is not liked by establishment Democrats, and she's not very well liked by the more progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
Well, the far lefties like her.
That's because she's one of them.
Yeah, I mean, the squad will support her.
I don't think there's as many far, far lefties as people seem to think. I think they're just super freaking loud.
Yes, and that's also the problem. Like, there isn't that many far lefties out there, but the rest of the Dems have followed lockstep with them, and they're not able to shrug them off or get them to lay off or whatever you want to do. So that's the scary part.
Well, it's because everybody's afraid. The truth of the matter is, people are afraid to punch somebody in the face.
True.
I'm sorry, but you want to let all these suburban kids dress up in black, put on their airsoft bulletproof vest, roll into Philadelphia, and start tearing down statues and smashing windows, and you're gonna put handcuffs on your own police force, who could actually wipe these guys up in about 30, 40 minutes. To be honest with you, I'd let Philly. If I was the cops, I'd just be like, all right, guess what? Antifa, you're on your own.
Yeah, downtown,
and just walk out and just... All of a sudden, it'd be like that scene in The Warriors. You just hear, clink, clink, clink.
Downtown Philly's no clink. Joke, yeah. Man. I used to hang out there when I was in college, and it's definitely sort of an interesting area. And quite frankly, if you're not going to mind your P's and Q's, you're going to have some issues.
Somebody's gonna come down and punch you in the face.
Right.
That's just the same thing. Go try that crap in Boston if the cops aren't around.
Right.
Watch what happens to you.
Well, yeah, but the biggest problem is that media-wise, these guys have been sort of propped up as being freedom fighters, and it's caused more issues than not, and they're not getting pushed away as they should, but that's a whole different topic.
The far left has the most powerful propaganda machine.
Yeah, the media runs
it. I mean, the Goebbels couldn't have asked for better.
Oh, jeez.
You know?
Well, I mean, wasn't it Biden just the other day that accused Trump of being Goebbels? So, what? I mean, it's...
And that's...
Turnabout's fair play.
What are you going to do for... what is it? The rules for radicals?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, accuse your enemy of what you're doing?
Oh, yeah. I'm stuttering and stammering here because it's so perfect. Like, that's one of the things that I still can't believe that conservatives don't just announce. Like, look, you're always accusing us of what you're doing. I was hoping Trump would do it. You're accusing me of things that you do, man.
If anybody was going to, you would think it's Trump, because he's actually not in there playing politics.
Right. But I think he went into the debate thinking, I have to knock this guy over, so I'm going to push him, push him, push him. And then he didn't fall over, and then he recognized that he was in a street fight with Wallace Aiding, and then it just became, I'm going to hit you with everything I know right now. And, you know, Tim Pool and some other pundits, I like Pool. We've talked about him many times before, you and I, off mic. But some of the other pundits as well, Crowder noted some of this stuff. And, of course, the other name's escaping me at the moment, but Nolte, who I like quite a bit, too, from Breitbart. They talked about, look, he got him to say the things that he needed to say. He had to say Antifa was an idea and wouldn't denounce it. That was big.
I think that's going to be huge. Yeah, that's going to play huge in some of these cities.
That's a big win for him. He got Biden to be on the defensive about a lot of things that are just true. You know, the Hunter Biden stuff. I mean, I get it. In the sense that, what's Joe going to do? He's got to defend his kid. He can't say his kid's a piece of shit. He's got to say, he's got to say something. But the Hunter stuff is true. And then the fake outrage from Biden when he talked about Bo Biden. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, this is funny.
My son Hunter, kicked out of the military for drug use. All right, fine. That happens. Mm-hmm. You're young. You're stupid. You do some stupid things. I've known guys who got kicked out of the military for drugs when, you know, we were all in our late teens, early 20s.
Right, you do mistakes.
This guy goes on, instead of learning from his mistakes, trying to be a better person, this guy goes on to utilize his dad's position to weasel his way into millions, if not billions of dollars, is now caught up in some kind of scandal with Russian prostitutes, the former mayor of Moscow's wife giving him $3.5 million to buy Ukrainian girls or something.
Which Trump alluded to.
He alluded to that too.
What was he doing with $3.5 mil?
You've got Hunter Biden who started sleeping with his deceased brother's
that's really rough
ex-wife
too.
And then went and cheated on her after she was pregnant with strippers and hookers.
Right. I mean, look, the kid's bad news, and he's not a kid, he's an adult. And I really don't want to, and this is where I try to be the better man if I can, like, I don't want to paint Joe Biden with that. You can't suffer the sins of the kid, you know. He could be the prodigal son and return and love him the entire time, and that's great, but that's, you know.
I don't think Joe Biden's much different.
Right.
I think Hunter's Hunter's an exaggerated Joe Biden.
Agreed, and I think that's the point. I mean, that's the reason we talk about it, because Hunter Biden isn't running for the presidency. It's Joe.
Absolutely.
And Hunter is the example of all the shady shit that's been going on. And Joe hasn't had a clean slate either.
Not even close. No.
There's definitely criminal activity that apparently has gone through him. There's definitely been some scandalous type. Sexual deviancy with Joe as well. There has been other items. So, the Hunter Biden thing's interesting only in the sense that Joe was the vice president during the time, and would Hunter have received all this money if Joe wasn't the VP? And
what kind of access did all that money buy?
Right. Well, I mean, it's like the Clintons and the Obamas and the
You look just, at Hillary Clinton's the Secretary of State, and all of a sudden Bill Clinton's getting these $500,000 speaking engagements at Rotary clubs. It's like, no. Something's going on here.
So anyway, back to the debate. What are your thoughts on The Wire? Do you think he was wearing a wire? Do you think he was talking to somebody?
I think it's potential. I'm not going to concentrate too much on it because it's superfluous garbage at this point. I don't trust politicians, period. I don't care who you are. If you've been in the swamp that long, as far as I'm concerned, you know, you're going to stab me in the back the first chance you get. The first time it's convenient or mildly profitable. So if Joe Biden was wearing a wire, to be honest with you, I wouldn't even be mad at him. I'd be more surprised if he wasn't.
True, but one of the things that everyone is trying to figure out is, can this person who...
Function?
Function in his elder age and be president of the United States. And I think that's one of the things that, unfortunately, if he's wearing a wire and he's being coached by somebody, that negates the obvious situation that he can't do it. And I think that's why it's sort of an issue. Because, if he's a standard politician and he just needs answers, then he's going to Roxanne it and he's going to talk about, you know, all sorts of things, and someone's going to talk into his ear and whatever. But in this case, one of the big arrows that Trump has is that this dude can't stand up to what's happening.
I'm going
to
say this. As far as The Wire goes, that's possible. But if he really did have a wire in and he was getting coached, he verbally wandered off into the frickin' forest three or four times during that debate where Chris Wallace is at it like, well, that's a wonderful answer, Mr. President. We were talking about something totally different.
Right.
And, Mr. Vice President.
And Wallace was there to prop him up. I mean, there was no question about that.
So, I mean, how would somebody not in the earpiece be like, Joe, get... That's not what we're talking about.
Get the fuck back on page.
Get back on page, jackass. I feel like Joe would have had a much better standing. And I also feel like if Joe was being coached properly, he wouldn't have had the emotional outburst that he did. I think he would have just been concentrating on what's the next thing.
I disagree.
You don't think so?
No, I disagree. Okay. I think you want to talk about politicians and feigned outrage. I mean, come on, they can do that. do that all day. You know, how dare you talk about Bo Biden? I take offense to that. Okay. By the way, Joe, next topic will be the climate change, and make sure you say that he's destroying the world. And you know he doesn't care about the world, you know? So, I mean...
I feel like he just kind of... I feel like if he was getting coached, he would have had more concise answers.
Or he's just that far gone, and that's all we...
That could be,
is the
personally,
best one.
Personally, I think Joe is, you know...
It's a
I
weird
think he's
one.
In the early stages.
Dude,
it's
such a weird... weird election, and it's one of the reasons why we've decided to go into this format and talk a little bit more about politics than we do. And this one's so weird because you have a situation where the only reason we're even talking that this is close is because COVID wrecked the economy. If that didn't happen, and we have a gangbusters economy,
I don't think COVID did wreck the economy, and I think that was one of the big fear factors.
Well, I mean, they closed it down, and that's where it all went.
They closed it down, but everybody remembered the economy that Trump was responsible for. And prior to the George Floyd incident,
unfortunate. Yep.
All the Republicans were like, open it up, open it up, open it up. Mm-hmm. Trump, he's up there. We're going to open it up. It's mm-hmm. going to be great. Everybody's going to love it. Mm-hmm. We're going to have the V. All the Democrats are trying to keep it shut, keep it closed.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats lost small business.
Right.
Across the board. And I think there was a major fear there from the Democrats, because no matter what Trump did, they had to oppose it. Trump comes out, oxygen's great. Nancy Pelosi holds her breath.
Right, which would have been awesome.
That would have been great. So COVID was bad for them, and then the George Floyd incident happened.
Right.
Now you've got civil unrest. I think the hardcore far leftists saw an opportunity to change the narrative, to get it off their failure with COVID, the fact that COVID just... I don't think it was as bad as it was built
right, but
to
you,
be.
But you know what COVID did? Because you're right. I think your timeline's right, and I think it makes a lot of sense to me. But it just, you know, what happened with COVID that actually made it all work was that it allowed the fact that everyone could wear a mask. So now you don't know who these people are.
Yeah.
They're just coming in hard and doing some crazy stuff. And, you know, people forget that there was random piles of bricks dropped off on
dropped
streets.
That was a lot of coordination.
Some crazy stuff that happened, and it was definitely...
But I think one of the things that scared the left was that average people were really starting to question the government.
Right.
You know, it's like, you're here to work for us, and you're sending the police out to arrest us and our businesses. I had to close my shop, and then you sent the police to my shop to make me stop selling stuff online. And there's a line 5 blocks long at Walmart.
Right. The hypocrisy was amazing.
It was epic.
It was amazing. And that's it's one of the major reasons why the people who are truly knowledgeable about COVID and the fear of what could happen and what did happen, they had a point, but then they had no leg to stand on when you had these protests and thousands of people shoulder to shoulder causing trouble, doing crazy shit. And you're like, how is that allowed and that's not? How can I go? I always thought about this too. How can I go drive through at Wendy's and get food, but I can't go to church? Like, how is it that, like, none of that makes sense to me or it made sense to anybody. So it's sort of a weird, I don't deny that COVID was a problem. I don't deny that it caused a lot of situations and people died, unfortunately.
But COVID also forced a lot of people to pay attention to what their political leadership were doing. Everybody's sports,
mm-hmm.
gone.
Gone.
That's a major distraction. I'm sorry, but the bread and circus, without bread and circus, you do not control Rome.
That's a great line.
And bread and circus was gone.
Yeah.
I mean, you had everybody was tuned into the news. because everybody thought, oh my God, COVID's coming through.
Right.
Everybody's freaking out. We're seeing footage from around the world about how horrible this is, and we don't know what's going on in China.
Right.
COVID doesn't turn out to be as bad as it was billed, but the response of certain politicians and certain leadership was fucking horrific.
Right, and they had
to keep it. Everybody was watching it.
And they had to keep it going, or else it was going to turn into, you know, why the hell did you do that?
I think Tim Pool spent an entire month just talking about, like, every other session on his podcast was about regular people telling the cops to go F off.
Right. And you don't want to be in that world. That's not the world you want to be in.
And I mean, we're not talking about, you know, the punks and the Antifa. They were just like, we're done with your mask crap. We're opening our store. We're opening our gyms.
Right.
You can shut us down all you want. You can arrest us all you want. And I think a lot of people saw that, and the left got scared.
Well, I think the hypocrisy is the end game, because once you do, hey, these are rules for me, but not for you,
yeah,
and vice versa, like, that's when it gets shitty, and I think that's where we're going. And I think that's the left and anyone, whether it's the left or the right, when they start imposing rules that are only for certain people and not for the broad populace, you should be scared, because that's when you're out of line. So pivoting to the end of this debate, which I thought was hairy. Again, it was, you had everyone talking at once.
And it was nap time for the two old fellas.
It was rough, and it was one of those things where I think that what I read and what I saw on social media was that everyone was sort of just put off on it. And one of the things that was brought up was that, look, Trump's going to fight. That's what he does. And it's going to be uncomfortable, and it's going to get worse in October. So you better get ready for it, because this is how it's going to be. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's what's going to happen?
I think this is going to be a brawl.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, this is going to be an absolute freaking knockdown, drag out, Irish Thanksgiving fucking brawl. I mean, it's you can already see it. I mean, you know, Uncle Joe is in the corner, and he's, you know, he's halfway through that bottle of whiskey, and he's about to say something stupid to Aunt Donna, and it's just gonna, it's ready to go.
Do you think the last two debates between those two men are going to happen?
I doubt it.
Already Biden's crew is saying that he doesn't need to.
I think maybe one more debate.
I mean, the vice president thing's going to happen. We're going to see Kamala and Pence, but like...
But I mean, in a normal presidential election cycle, don't you get three presidential debates and one vice presidential debate?
That's tradition, yes.
So I don't think the powers that be on both sides are going to feel comfortable having one presidential debate and one vice presidential debate. And I don't think Joe or Trump can really sit there and be happy with that first debate.
Do you think they'll get a better moderator? Do you think... Joe Rogan was the guy they wanted from
Joe Rogan will be shot.
And
on site, if he shows up anywhere within freaking 5 miles of that zip code.
Joe Rogan's the one. I've heard some other talks too of, you know, just like Britt Hume or some other guys.
Joe Rogan would be awesome.
Tucker Carlson, maybe.
I don't think they're going to go with another Fox News person.
Well, I mean, they didn't really get a conservative. They got Chris Wallace, who was in deep, you know.
I want my moderator. I would rather have an unknown moderator.
Hmm.
I would rather go to some obscure...
Dennis Miller. Miller would be a wonderful moderator.
I think Dennis Miller would turn that into a shit show.
He would ask a question that would be so convoluted and so word salad-y, you'd be kind of like, oh, I don't know what he just said.
You know what? We could do it with a panel. It could be freaking Dennis Miller, Greg Gutfeld, and Gilbert Gottfried.
Greg Gutfeld would be perfect. I don't need Gilbert Gottfried anywhere near me.
If it's going to be a shit show, make it a shit show.
Well, he would certainly do that. But
bring me the most annoying man on earth.
But Greg Gutfeld would be perfect. I love Greg Gutfeld. He's awesome.
I would rather see a truly neutral moderator, or at least an individual who can...
That's a great idea, by the way. Not to interrupt, but I just thought of something. How about if instead of you get jury duty, you get a letter in the mail that says you're going to moderate the presidential debate?
Oh, dear God.
And you're just like, what? All right.
I'd show up and be like, here we go.
That would be great, because it would be totally neutral. You have no idea who would be
I'd call him up and be like, all right, so How do we feel about me drinking during
that? can I have a flask, please?
No, I'm thinking I could probably get an endorsement deal from Jameson, all right? I'm just going to be there with little J-Mo in a tin cup, all right? I just need you guys to kind of to get a close shot on it every now and then, and I'll give you a little thumbs up. I get paid. I get a buzz. You guys get a...
First question, guys. What do you
rocks or no rocks? rocks are neat.
Do you... What kind of barbecue do you dig? Go.
Yeah.
I don't drink barbecue. You're out. Next one. What?
So, President Trump, where's your favorite fishing hole? I'm not telling you. You suck.
I know you know where one is.
I know you know. Mr. Trump, you're gonna. I need you to let me come down to Mar-a-Lago and fish on your golf course.
That's right.
Because I've heard there's some large bass in your little traps there. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think that's the way to do it. That's how it should be. Like, instead of wherever it's going to be, there's like a random lottery situation for everyone in that area. You pick a hand, you pick a card, the email gets sent. Well, it wouldn't be email because everyone turns down emails. But like, officially, Secret Service comes to your house. You've been selected to be the moderator. Can I turn it down? Nope. Like, okie dokie, here we go.
All right, but I hate Biden. And you're out. You know what you might be able to do? Do two hardcore
lefties moderators. And just rock.
Get it? Yeah, give me Candace Owens and Rachel Maddow.
Oh, that'd be perfect. That's okay. A great idea, too.
And then you know what? Yeah. Rachel Maddow gets to ask Trump all the questions.
Yep.
Candace Owens gets to get Biden.
Oh, boy.
And they can't really. Rachel Maddow can't even talk to Biden.
Candace can't. Candace would destroy Biden. Like, that'd be rough. Candace is vicious.
And if not Candace, I want Ben Shapiro.
I don't know. I mean, Ben's more of a. I think Ben's more of a debater himself than he is a moderator. I think he'd be more on the defensive about like. Ben's whole shtick is, I'm going to stand in front of you.
Let me show you how to win an argument.
Yeah, I'm going to stand in front of you. You're going to give me an argument. You're going to try to beat me at it. And I'm going to counterpunch you to death and make you look silly.
I'm going to talk. And I'm also going to talk so fast that you miss half of what I said.
Right. So Shapiro's not where I would go. I love the Candace Owens idea. If you want to make it funny, like Nicole Arbour would be a good one. I like Nicole a lot. I think she would be funny. And she would also... Actually, Nicole should be the moderator. Like,
there you go.
Hands down. She's just brilliant. I love Nicole. But, yeah, anyone better than what we got. Like, Wallace was rough.
Yeah, I don't think you could get Wallace to do it again. I think that probably was such a horrible experience for him.
I heard via the Twitter sphere, so who knows how much truth it is, that he's got a rash of shit from this.
He really has,
everybody.
And I'm not on, I don't do Twitter. Yeah. But he is all over. Right now, it is all over social network. That he's just getting reamed.
Well, there was the tweet of the day today was somebody put in. You know, he actually united the country in hating him.
Yeah,
they were just like everyone hated what Wallace did.
The only thing we know about this debate is we're not ever going to vote for Chris frickin' Wallace.
He sucked.
That's it.
Oh my gosh,
it was terrible. It was terrible.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well. This has been the first debate special. Hopefully we'll have three more of these bad boys as we'll deal with the vice presidency, and hopefully two more times for the presidency itself. And then come election day, we'll probably have an election day podcast as well. So John, thank you for coming into the Empty Room podcast.
Thank you.
And everybody, we'll see you soon.